Welcome back to another episode of Magic the Amateuring, everybody, and welcome to the first episode you've ever listened to, first everybody's. Today we're going to talk about a lot of great stuff.
Yes, we are.
But first, my co-hosts, Marie and Megan.
Hi.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
I'm Ben. I just got back from summer camp, and I'm looking super tan.
Ben, you always look tan.
But you do look eternally tan.
But now I'm more tan, right?
Your face is a little red tinge going on.
You could be on the cover of Swimsuit Edition Sports Illustrated for Ladies.
Is that a thing?
No.
Okay, I mean, I didn't think so, but I was hoping. I was like, yeah.
Why isn't it, though?
Because that magazine is marketed towards men.
Oh, well.
Straight
unfair.
Men.
Unfair.
Yeah, no, it really is. You're not listening to me disagree with you.
We got a great little episode for you guys today. We're going to talk about the things you're hearing right now. We're also going to talk about control decks and what makes them the thing they are. Then we're going to talk about the cutest card from Conspiracy and Vintage Masters.
And also the grossest card.
Yes.
Ooh, both ends of the spectrum. Then we're going to talk about the most plain card.
That's right in the middle.
Which card is just going to be like... Do you know what? It's going to marry somebody nice.
Nice and sort of pretty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's going to be totally fine. Yeah.
And last of least, and last and also least, we're going to play a little Theros Matchmaker.
Ooh, I'm excited for that.
Also in there, Marie and I are going to talk about a couple of sealed events that we played recently that were, Theros Block.
That's right.
Party Town.
Party Town. So come along with us on this ride. Ding the trolley bell, because we're in San Francisco and we're giving you a treat.
I just want to clarify for all of our listeners that we are not in San Francisco right now.
We're broadcasting from the San Francisco of Minnesota.
Minneapolis.
That's going to go on all of Minneapolis's signage now. Minneapolis.
San Francisco of Minnesota.
Where the hills are lakes.
I thought you were going for where the lakes are alive with the sound of music.
Of sourdough. For the noobs, control decks. All right, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Control decks, it's a specific kind of deck. Look at me like I'm dumb. Oh, you already were. All right. I don't know. What is a control deck?
Well, so control always kind of means the same thing, but it looks really different depending on what kind of format you're playing.
Mm.
Control usually means that early in the game, you're just looking to not die.
This is specifically in Magic.
Yes.
Yeah. Kind of like how I live my life.
Exactly.
Just trying not to die.
I feel like if you're a control life player, you're looking to not die.
That's deep. Yeah. You stay home when you could go out.
A lot of parents play control
and their first
when
child.
Raising newborns, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
But their second child,
they're all like, okay, all that's important is you kill the other children before they kill you.
That's the first lesson I'll teach.
Yeah, good parenting skills. Don't say we didn't ever teach you anything but magic.
Mm-mm. You parenting. Get life skills on this podcast.
Control decks are usually looking to establish a lot of card advantage. Either
what?
By
what are those two words?
What's okay. carded? Okay, let's break them down one word at a time.
I'm hyperventilating.
What is card?
What is a card? Okay, it's one. It's one of those pieces of cardboard.
You can't use the word card in the definition.
Oh, God. I didn't use the word card.
So you mean like
the
what my refrigerator came in?
Yes.
That was a piece of cardboard.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. No, card advantage, it means that you're looking to either maybe make like some sweet 2-for-1 or more trades, like board sweepers, for instance, where you kill 2 or 3 of their creatures.
Where you spend 1 card to deal with 2 of theirs.
Exactly. Or maybe you have different card drawing engines, like you cast some divinations, which just straight up draw cards, or you play a Jace, which lets you draw cards if you minus it. Card advantage.
So either draw more cards or use my cards, like each card is more than 1 card.
Exactly.
Mm.
Good way to put it.
Ben, what else do you think makes a control deck?
Lots of defensive cards. Mm-hmm. Any card that, on the whole, on average, in the average game, will make the game go longer.
On the whole.
Hi. Hey, Maria.
If you really love me, you'd kiss me on the hole.
Which hole?
Take your pick.
Nose.
The kiss hole.
Oh, well.
Okay.
Anyway, Megan, you were saying with your kiss hole?
Yet another way that we've gotten around saying the word mouth on this podcast. Thank you, guys. Yeah, so in standard, control decks look a lot different than they do in limited. So, for instance, in standard, the big control deck is usually blue-white control or some version of, you know, blue-white X. It might be blue-white-black, a little bit of Esper, or a little bit of blue-white-red. But it's usually base blue-white because it has Sphinx's Revelation, which is like the biggest card advantage card of all time!
Megan, you are glowing right now. You're either pregnant or thinking about Sphinx's Revelation.
Sphinx's Revelation is blue, blue, white, X. And then you draw X cards and gain X life. So, you know, late in the game, you're looking at drawing 7 or 8 cards. It's an amazing feeling.
And don't control decks in Constructed usually rely a lot on counter spells?
Yes, they often play a lot of counter spells. Although it sometimes depends. There are, right now it's leaning a little bit more towards, obviously, Supreme Verdict, which is a sweeper. It's another way that we say that you get card advantage out of that deck. But then there's also, you know, like Last Breaths. The Esper deck runs Hero's Downfall to get rid of all of those Planeswalkers that are running around right now.
Yeah, so here's an example of how those cards fit in the control deck. According to what we've talked about previously, the counter spells give a 1-for-1 card trade. And so that will make the game go longer, because if you counter your opponent's creature, your opponent's going to kill you slower.
Yeah. Oh, I never thought of it that way.
But it's not going to do anything to end the game faster for you. It's not like you're playing a creature that can attack. A counterspell is the purest form of an answer that there is in Magic. All it does is just destroy another card. And the Supreme Verdict is a similar effect. All it's going to do is destroy creatures. So it slows the game down in that way, but it also can give you card advantage by destroying multiple creatures at the same time.
Right.
Sweet.
And Last Breath is another example of a card that is going to destroy a creature and it gives your opponent life, both of which are going to make the game go longer, but that's no problem for the control deck.
Exactly.
Because it's all part of your plan.
Your plan is to make the game go long.
Yeah.
And then kind of deprive them of their win conditions and then play your own.
Exactly.
The control deck wants to be like a super senior.
Yeah, man.
What do you mean?
You know that guy who wanted to be in college for 7 years?
Yeah, that guy's still in college.
He's a control player.
Nice. He's just depriving all of those underclassmen of the resources.
He's just waiting to draw his Jace.
That's right.
You guys,
or his Elspeth. You know,
he's never going to draw his Jace. He's going to draw one
copy of Elspeth in his whole deck. He'll draw it someday.
So how is playing Control in Limited different than playing Control in Constructed?
Yeah. Well, obviously you don't have access to the same quantities of the same very high-powered cards. If you're playing, you know...
That's true of any Limited deck.
That's true. I feel like it's It's especially relevant when you're playing Control, though, because, you know, if you want to play aggro, there's still a lot of very reasonable, aggressive creatures. Yeah. Like, you can have your Oresko Swift Claws, which have 3 power on turn 2.
There was a famous civil rights expert who said, there is no such thing as a wrong threat. Only a wrong answer.
That is some... words of wisdom right there, you
From
guys.
Whichever civil rights Amazing. Leader it was who
you,
said that.
You, yep. you like best.
the control deck doesn't have access to 4 Sphinx's Revelations and 4 Supreme Verdicts. Control, I think, looks a lot different and limited than aggro looks from its standard
counterpart. It's like trying to open a movie theater when all you have is a Blockbuster membership?
That's especially that's problematic.
It? That is it?
Because Blockbuster, yeah. Good luck finding one of
right.
those
no,
things.
No, it's really hard.
Is there very any hard. Blockbuster still around?
There's that, I think there's one up the street.
I just mean, in, a, I mean in America.
I think there's like one or two.
Ben, look into this right now for us.
Actually, did you guys know, at least this is what I heard, you know how there's Redbox here?
Yes.
In most of the U.S. it's Redbox, but in New York alone it's Bluebox, which is Blockbuster's Redbox, and they just happen to hit the New York market first.
And they have a monopoly?
Yeah, in like New York.
And Redbox is just afraid to go into New York because Bluebox has already got locked down?
Well, yeah, like Bluebox has it locked down. That's just what I've heard.
I just found a street view of Blockbuster Video that shows an abandoned lot.
Of the one here in town? Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
West St. Paul.
Anyways. So in Limited, your control decks are going to look a lot different, but you know your game plan is still the same.
You still have the same heart at the center of this juicy sausage.
Exactly. You're going to be looking to have a lot of removal. And hopefully a lot of, like, efficient removal, which is kind of hard to come by. But, like, Doomblade, you know, dream card for Limited.
Yeah. Also often featured in the Limited version of a control deck are very good blockers.
Early blockers.
Like, yeah. So, like, a 1-3, you're, like, cool. Like, yeah. A 1-4, you're like, yeah.
Like, give me some Grim Guardian, some Wave Crash Tritons, some Return Phalanx.
Do you guys like even, Grim Guardian?
Even, like, a 2-6, you're, like, for 4 or 5, you're, mm-hmm. like... This is going to do really great. The thing that's so good about these is they offer a form of card advantage that's not obvious right away. Even though it can only block one creature at a time, what they can often do is...
Stop them from attacking with multiple dudes.
They'll blank a lot of your aggro opponent's cards. Because mm-hmm. if your opponent is playing a lot of X1s, then all of a sudden your 1-4 is really good because it can threaten to block and kill any one of them. And if you have multiple 1-4s, you can threaten to double or triple block without the same risk that you would normally have. And so, in that sense, these blockers can blank a lot of creatures just by making them unable to attack. And that's kind of a form of, like, virtual card advantage, which in a lot of situations, it's going to be like those cards don't even exist for your opponent.
Weird.
Kind of like Blockbuster Video Store.
Whoa, you guys.
See how I brought that full circle?
I just turned your Seder Hoplite into a Blockbuster Video. How do you feel about that?
Real sad. But I'm going to target him with Battlewise Valor, and now he's Netflix. Suck on that. Not quite Netflix.
Okay.
Amazon Prime.
Another way control decks might look a little different in Limited is they might just have a few more threats than mm-hmm. a denser threat ratio than a standard constructed deck might have. Because while they can slow down the game, they can't always be in a situation where they can completely stop the opponent's plan and, you know, just wait 30 turns or whatever to draw their threat.
Yeah. You can't have your just that one win condition because it might be on the bottom.
Because limited formats are characterized often by bombs that your opponent can play that you will often just have no answer for, like Prognostic Sphinx, for example. If you just have no way to deal with that, then... What you really need is, okay...
A hero!
You need some ways to slow it down, maybe some Nessie Mass to try to block it, and then you want some other cards that will, you know, eventually apply pressure. So you want your own powerful bombs, if you can get them, and if not, you're often happy with just a couple, six drops or something in your deck that, you know, will help put the game away a little bit.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Maria.
So once I was streaming twitch.tv/magictheamateuring, and Ben happened to be watching my stream, and I was playing a blue-black control deck, and he had several comments to make about the way the way I was
Some
playing
that. Some constructive feedback?
Yes, constructive feedback.
Okay.
Do you remember any of those things that you told me that I was doing incorrectly playing that control deck?
No.
Okay, let's see if I do.
I remember one thing. There was a turn where you had a 3-3 out.
Yes.
The 3-3 defender. And your opponent had...
Return Phalanx.
Yeah, and your opponent had a... 2-2, the 2-2 Vigilance guy bestowed on a 2-1. So your opponent had a 4-3 with Vigilance, and you had a 3-3, and you in your hand you had a Disciple of Phoenix.
Okay.
And a Guild.
This is insane what you're remembering right now.
Well, we talked about...
It made an impression on Ben.
We talked about this play afterwards.
Yes, I'm recalling it as you explain it. Continue.
And I had some time while you were playing the game to really think about
it. To really think of all the things you did wrong.
So your opponent had, I think, 2 or 3 cards in their hand. So your Phoenix was going to see the whole hand.
Yep.
And I don't think he had any other relevant creatures out. So do you remember what play you made?
I probably gilded that thing.
Right. And so what did the board look like after you gilded it?
After I gilded it, there remained the 2-2, which was bestowed.
Right. And then you got like a gold token or whatever.
Right.
So it was their 2-1 against your 3-3. Megan, what would you have done?
If I get to see their whole hand with my disciple,
I'd
probably disciple a Phoenix first.
And I think your opponent had 2 cards in hand, which is kind of relevant because from my point of view, like your opponent has a 4-3, but it's essentially answered. You have a 3-3 that can block it. They're not going to be getting in for 4 points of free damage next turn. You have 2 cards in your hand, one of which is an answer to everything. Actually, both of which are an answer to everything, one is a very conditional answer to everything and is getting worse. Because the Disciple of Phoenix is only good for so long. Once your opponent starts top decking, it's not really good anymore. So because your board is relatively stable, you're in a relatively controlling position, I just wanted you to play that card because it's a form of slight card advantage. It lets you take their best card and you get a 1-3 blocker as well. So I wanted you to do that instead of gilding because the guild was just a much better answer for anything else that he might top deck eventually.
I think this is a trap players who normally prefer to play aggressively would fall into. This is a very aggressive play. So when you play aggressive decks, which we'll talk about on later shows, a lot of times you're using removal to push through your damage as fast as you can
mm-hmm.
and to try and get as much through as soon as you can so that they do not have answers to your little weenies later on. couldn't get through that sentence. Almost did.
You did say little weenies at the end.
So I think I probably still had that mindset of like, oh, here's this thing. It's big. It has vigilance.
Mm-hmm.
Just kill it. Get rid of it. Break it up.
Yeah.
But in reality, I was on a fine board state.
Yeah, and the other weird thing is you used a 4-mana premium removal spell on a 2-drop 2-1.
Yeah.
Because he's still, like, you killed the 4-3, but he still had
that other
the 2-2 left over. And he, on his next turn, your opponent ended up,
playing...
I can't remember if you played it or if you bestowed it, but it was an Emissary of Purphoros, which would have been a perfect card to either Disciple of Phoenix or Guild.
Oopsies. So now I try and be more mindful of that when I play control, and I'm still not great at it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm better at recognizing when I should just like hold on.
Yeah.
And feel like. It's a scary feeling to say, oh no, just let it happen. Here's my board.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
And one thing that I like to think about when I'm playing those decks, one thing that can help remind you, like, oh, this is what my game plan should be or what my game plan could be, is to think about, okay, why is this card good? Like, why did I put this card in my deck in the first place? For example, Disciple of Phoenix. Why is that card good? Because it can get a card out of your opponent's hand. So if your game plan is not taking advantage of that, it's like a wasted card in your deck. And on the converse, why is Guild good? Because it can kill any creature, right? It's not an amazing tempo play. It's not a card like Feast of Dreams or Last Breath where it's, you know, or Magma Spray where it's a cheap way to get rid of something so you can get through some damage or you can slow down your opponent's plan. It's there because it can deal with anything. It's like a safety valve backup threat nuclear option.
Oh, a nuclear option. Oh, a nuclear option. I can get beyond that.
Yeah.
You know, as long as they're not... The old safety valve nuclear option.
As long as they're not building the nuclear option in my town. I don't want to live by NIMBY. The nuclear option.
My car has a nuclear option. Oh, if I run out of gas on the highway, oops, nuclear option.
Oh.
Press that button.
What kind of radioactive materials are you carrying around in your car?
Banana peel?
Yeah.
Oh,
I've got the car from Back
sense.
To the Future 2.
Everything's a little bit radioactive.
Fair point.
Ben,
fair point.
Will you please make that science music video? Everything's a little bit radioactive.
Everyone's a little radioactive.
You guys don't get to both create the song because that sounded terrible together.
It's a round. We'll be done in a round.
Oh, sure.
Maria,
okay.
Were there any plays from that game that you had in mind that you wanted to talk about?
No, that was probably the most embarrassing one that I'd like the world to remember.
Yeah, we remember it now.
I think there was a play where we bounced. Our opponent had...
I'm sure I bounced, yeah.
This was. I think I actually told you to make this play. I don't even remember if this is the same deck. But your opponent had a Observant Alcaid bestowed on another Observant Alcaid. So you had a 4/4.
Oh.
Vigilance guy, and you like, I was like, oh yeah, you should bounce his Alcaid so you can attack this turn, but it was like then next turn he just re-bestowed his Alcaid, so
yep.
Like he just had the exact same thing, and he used your, I basically was like, yeah, you should use your Voyage's End to get in for 3 points of damage right now.
Yeah, the Voyage's End.
Not the most controlling play.
Hubris are a risky trick. Risky trick when the Age of Bestow. But yeah, keep in mind patience and just feel secure in your plan if you're playing control. And just sit back and let it happen.
Mm.
And
then
win.
I don't know if I mentioned this, but limited control does also usually want at least one kind of draw spell in there. So like a Divination or a Read the Bones are both going to be great. Because it'll help you when you're trying to, you know, manage all of the things that your opponent is throwing at you. Having an extra card is very advantageous. So
Megan and I had a fight about what was better, Divination or Font of Fertility.
Oh, yeah, we sure did. Wait, no, Font of Fertility?
I mean, Font of whatever the fuck.
Font of Fortune.
Fortune.
Oh, who won?
By the way, Font of whatever the fuck allows you to tap for any color.
Well, I threw a punch eventually.
Yeah.
And it got Maria.
Yeah,
got
me.
Maria.
Right in the ear.
She was not expecting it, so she went down pretty quick.
Megan's fists are small and quick.
Yep. And hard as ice. But like permafrost ice, not
mm-hmm.
the breakable
mm-hmm.
kind.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Who of you two... Okay, let me guess. Maria, you wanted the font. Megan, you wanted a Divination.
No. I wanted the font. But I believe it's because there was constellation reasoning involved.
Oh, was there a little constellation math?
Man, I don't even remember. That deck was so horrible.
So, I think Divination's a better card. I think Font of Fertility rarely makes...
Fortunes.
The Font of Fortunes rarely has the upside to make up for the fact that you're spending an extra mana.
Yes.
What would the potential upside be?
Constellation.
There's
Constellation.
Two potential upsides. One is the installment plan upside.
Layaway.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I'm stuck on two.
Yeah.
I really want to draw two cards.
That is very true.
It is possible to do that with a Font of Fortunes and not possible to do it with a Divination.
Or maybe your deck is... Maybe just through drafting you effed up, as I sometimes do.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of three drops. And,
you
know, like, almost no two drops. Well, it's like maybe I'll take out a Divination so I lighten up the weight on my three-drop slot.
Yeah.
And put it in my two drops, even though I won't be able to cash it in right away.
Or maybe you have, like, more of a tempo-oriented deck, and you have a lot of two-drops. It's a lot easier to play a two-drop and a font, and then next turn, crack your font and play another two-drop.
Yeah, I'm probably playing blue-black fairies from Modern Masters.
And then the other upside is the constellation triggers that you can get off Font of Fortune. How many constellation triggers do you want in your deck?
To make a constellation deck?
Before you would put in Font of Fortunes over Divination.
Oh my god.
It depends on which ones. If I have like a Whitewater Naiads, yes.
Yeah.
Um,
the Intimidate guy?
No.
So if it's straight unblockable, you want the font.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you want... Otherwise, maybe you want something else?
Yeah.
I would say... I mean... oh, man.
Yeah.
That's tough. I don't
like,
know the answer
I
that.
Feel like at the time, I was arguing Font of Fortunes for your deck specifically.
All right. All right.
And there's no record of that deck, so there's no,
no
way.
There's no way to
there's
know.
There's no way no to way say to that Megan was wrong.
I burned it immediately.
So, all right. The
should
end.
I turn off my air conditioner?
It's been on this whole time, so
no.
Probably better leave it on.
Okay.
I did think about it, but then I was like, I'm hot. Let's leave it on.
All right, a little bonus tip left over.
Okay.
Oh.
From that for the noobs, guys. Think about remembering specific situations
think about remembering.
From your games. Get in the habit
yeah.
of,
okay.
after you play a game, you know, get a little dream journal action going on.
Dream journal! You guys, I had the best post-apocalyptic dream 2 nights ago.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Flying zombies.
Oh, all right.
And we were, like, hiding out in an abandoned mall.
Terrifying.
It was so great.
Didn't matter what Terrifying. Didn't matter what floor you were on, they could fly right up to that floor.
Oh my god.
I have a wow. weird I have a weird fantasy about the world just apocalypting itself and everybody just having to survive on their own wits, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, man.
Don't you see the appeal in that?
No.
No. I mean, I have also had post-apocalyptic dreams, but I mostly find them scary.
I mean, is it pure wits? Is this like a puzzle-based apocalypse? Because in that scenario, I think I'd do fairly well.
I'm going to write a movie that's just for people like you, Ben, called The Puzzle Apocalypse.
Puzzle Apocalypse.
I just don't feel that confident in any apocalypse that's going to involve a lot of, like, marksmanship, running, hand-eye coordination.
Jumping, climbing trees.
I'm really good at being, like, scared and huddling in a corner.
Being hungry. I feel like I'd get really grumpy
yeah.
in that kind of apocalypse.
You'd be 10 minutes from Grumptown every 10 minutes.
10 food minutes from Grumptown.
Oh, yeah. 10 food minutes from Grumptown.
Now we have the return of a classic segment. Cutest card.
Cutest motherfucking card.
Now accompanied by...
Grossest card.
Or a card that most makes me go, no, why? What?
And
plainest card.
Which card is of the most average, mediocre attractiveness?
That sounds very kind of like, you know, Edwardian novel.
Sure, thank you.
Like it's very Jane Austen.
Yeah,
which one is the plainest sister?
Yeah. So let's start out with Conspiracy. There's a lot of cute cards in this set. Just want to say that. There's some contenders, so I'm going to read some of the runners-up. And this one was a very, very, very tough decision for me on a personal level. I'm just going to put that out there. So runner-up, Spore Cap Spider is runner-up.
Oh my god, what? That's an honorable mention in grossest card.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, man.
But
Megan.
I can't stand mushrooms, so.
That's probably why.
Yep, that's definitely 100%
That's just
why.
A personal feeling.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, he reminded me of Golgari Longlegs, which is why he's in runners-up, because
okay.
he has some very long legs.
Yeah.
Also runner-up, it pains me to say, is Squirrel Nest.
Oh, I think this is going to be a contentious month for cutest card. I think we're going to have a lot of people who are rallying.
Squirrel's
really
Nest.
Rooting for
yeah,
Squirrel's
I know.
Nest.
I know. That hurts me because I love squirrels. Mm-hmm. So another runner-up is Dak Faden.
Whoa.
You can just stand alone in that one.
Is it his red hand?
It's the red hand, ladies. The winner was so much... It was like, what could possibly beat Squirrel Nest? Do you know what I mean? What could possibly
yeah.
beat that?
Yeah.
Gnarled Pack.
What? Let me see the Gnarled Pack.
So I want you to look at Gnarled Pack. It's a little tutu. And
does this have new art in Conspiracy, or is it the same as the World Waker?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh.
That is it. That
Let's
is him.
See him. Let's
that
see him.
Is him.
Oh, they're so cute. They're so cute. Okay, I 100% agree with this decision. This card is adorable.
So for those who are curious, Gnarled Pack is a bear.
He's a bear.
But he's one bear fits all.
He has like horns. He has like horns.
He has little horns.
He can be a 2-2 for 2.
Or
he can be a 4-4 for 4.
He's multi-kicker.
He can be a 6-6 for 6. He can be an 8-8 for 8.
Oh, yes, he can.
He can be a 10-10 for 10.
Yes, he can.
He can be a 12-12 for 12.
No. No. Wait, no. It only gets 1+1+1 counter for each 1 in a green.
Oh, my bad.
So it can be...
He could be a 2-2 for 2. He could be a 3-3 for 4. He could be a 4-4 for 6. And then he gets back.
Yeah, but Soup's cute. Soup's cute.
Soup's cute and a very good card.
Yeah, he's a real good card.
I enjoy multi-kicker.
Megan, what is your grossest card in Conspiracy?
All right. I'm going to first go for the honorable mentions.
Sure.
Infectious Horror.
Ugh.
I don't even... It's like... It's very confusing to look at. It just looks like a mess. But then once you realize what's going on, very gross.
At least it was an infectious horror.
I haven't seen this card. Let me see how long it takes.
All right.
To figure out what's going on.
Cinderwall.
Oh, that looks Cinderwall. Like something's coming out of something.
Yeah. I don't even know. Cinderwall is another honorable mention. Very just creepy and weird fucking card. Cinderwall. Like, what is that?
Wasn't that a song from the 90s?
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
How did that one go?
Cinderwall. Like that.
Yeah, perfect.
After all, you're my Cinderwall. Yeah.
Anyways, like, it's like creepy, melty, ghosty
Those
mountain
guys are cool.
heads with molten mouths. Creepy.
I like them.
But the award has to go to Smallpox.
Yes, thank you.
Terrifying.
It was awful.
Terrifying and awful. Oh, Ben just Googled Smallpox. Don't fucking do it. Don't.
I think relative to the other search results, that's the least gross guy.
Is that Smallpox art new, by the way? I think it is. It looked like new
art. It looks new, like new art. It is. It is.
I think a new...
Really...
Ugh. Gross. Is that what Smallpox actually looks like?
It is just fantastically awful.
Is it actually black bumps?
Well, Ben can take you back to the other search result. I'm not going to look.
Look, it could be any color, you guys.
All right.
It's been eradicated. We don't know anymore.
We don't know.
So that
we'll
was...
We'll have to get out of storage to test.
Okay.
That was Conspiracy.
Card.
Yeah. So
Ben,
Maria, what about Vintage
Ben
Masters?
Has to name the plainest card.
Oh, yeah, what's the plainest card?
Well, guys, I mean, there's always a lot of candidates for plainest card.
Yeah, It's like a middle school dance.
You know, honorary mention, Selvala, Explorer Return. You know, just some elf scout standing.
Standing. Not even squatting.
Standing.
Not even swinging on a vine.
Edric, Spymaster of Trest, also just a stander.
Yeah.
You know, any card where someone is just standing, you know, you're going to be like, well,
yeah,
this is just there. Honorary mention, Raito Lantern.
Oh, yeah, what
this
is
a,
no, just a
no, this is
a
not
lantern.
Even a guy standing. This is just a lantern.
Yep.
I read that
but,
as Retro Lantern, by the way.
But Retro Lantern... Uh-huh. It is on. The lantern is on.
And
that's
sunset.
That was what pushed it over the edge from not being the plainest card.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
The plainest card in the set is...
Play along at home. Conspiracy was just recently spoiled, by the way. If you want to look at every single card from Conspiracy and plan out the fun multiplayer decks you're going to build with your friends.
Plainest card is Mizzio, Visionary Architect. This is a 3-drop in blue. It's a legendary creature, human artificer.
Let me guess. It's just a dude standing.
It is a dude standing.
Okay.
But the environment
here
is also
okay.
important.
Okay.
So he's a human artificer. Oh. And he's standing, and there's, you know, like some books and stuff around.
Yeah, whatever.
He's like standing, and, you know, maybe he's inventing something.
But
maybe
who
it's
knows?
A paper.
Maybe plate. He's... Maybe he's just getting some light reading in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows? All right. What was that again, Ben?
Mizzio, Visionary Architect. Plainest card.
All right. Well done. Well done. Seal of plainest
Middle
card.
Of the packed road.
All right, we've got Vintage Masters coming up next.
Yeah. Mm.
Vintage Masters. So this is a set we talked about a couple weeks ago, where they've taken cards from Magic's history and put them all together in one big soup and said, here you go, Magic Online, get ready to play some old classic formats with some powerful cards. And I couldn't let this go. I always, you know, feel the need to support the people and give my cutest card. So runners up once again. Ephemeron is a runner-up. Ephemeron. We had Errant Ephemeron in Modern Masters, and he was significantly less cute than just Ephemeron.
Oh.
Owl Familiar is just a little owl.
Oh,
just
it's
sitting there.
Owl.
Just sitting there.
A little owl.
Another runner-up, Dak Faden. Also in Vintage Masters. I didn't realize that until I was looking through. But the winner, Basking Root Walla. Basking Root Walla.
Aww.
You remember there was a Root Walla in M14?
Yeah.
Was it? And he looked like just somebody took a picture and didn't even paint him. He just looked like a photograph.
Yep.
This little Root Walla guy, he's got his little mouth open. You
Root
know.
Walla, more like Photo Walla.
Basking?
Photogenic Walla?
Yeah, Photogenic Walla. Pull him up. He's pretty cute. Megan, I know somebody on Twitter suggested I pick the one that was like lizards, where you get a whole bunch of lizards.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know if that was Conspiracy or Vintage Masters, but that was pretty cute, but not quite good enough. Not quite good enough. But your vote was considered.
I don't have any runners up for grossest card.
You just have a straight up.
I just saw one that I was like, what is going on? And ew, and I don't think I want to know. And it is Icorid or Ichorid, Ichorid. I don't know how to say that.
That's fine. No human mouth
Ichorid.
Was meant to say
it was
those
like,
letters together.
It's like a weird, it's like a thing with another thing, and there's like wings maybe, but like really long weird legs. It's super gross, you guys, and also a little confusing.
Gross and confusing.
Yep.
I'm sold.
Great candidate for grossest card. There you go.
All right, Benjamin. Plainest card. Vintage Masters.
Plainest card. Well, of course, returning runner-up, Selvala Explorer returned.
Oh!
Also in Vintage Masters.
Just a guy standing.
Nature's Ruin. Pretty boring. It's like...
a river?
It's like a landscape.
It's like, oh, we painted this river, but we only had purple.
There's lots of old art in this set, too, so it's kind of fun, because... A lot of that is pretty bad. Pretty bad.
More plain cards, you know.
There's a lot of lands in this set. I mean, but we're not going to count them.
There's a lot of lands. Some of them are pretty cool. Some of them are, like, iconic. But, you know, at the end of the day, when you really get down to it, what's the plainest card in this set?
That's the question we are asking
really
of you,
is.
Ben. I think he's trying to find time, Megan.
I know. He's definitely biding his time.
I think the plainest card in this set is, you know, it's a card that's very good.
Oh, okay.
It lets you draw four cards.
Oh.
The card is Cruel Bargain.
Cruel
It says,
bargain.
Draw four cards, you lose half your life rounded up. But when you look at the card, it's two dudes reading a letter.
Super plain.
Pretty plain.
Super plain.
Pretty plain.
Now, maybe that's a contract. Maybe this guy is trying to convince the other guy to sign
that dark bargain.
But neither of these letter readers has one shred of emotion on their face.
Yep,
look at that.
Oh,
who's the director of this scene? Like, act, you guys.
I feel like this was a still taken from between takes.
Yeah.
That's the script.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, what's your name?
All right, okay, got it.
Got it, okay, let's go.
So there you have it.
Plainest card.
Plainest card, cutest card, grossest card.
There you go. Now you know all the lowdown on the Conspiracy and Vintage Masters cards.
Yeah. When you see those cards, you'll know how to feel.
Right. So
we've determined the most important aspect of the set.
Of both sets.
There you go. Once again, Magic the Amateuring, providing an important service to people who don't feel their own human emotions.
It's like now you know which card to put up in your bathroom, your bedroom, And
your torture dungeon.
Your torture dungeon.
Wait, okay, is cutest card is bedroom, plainest card is bathroom,
no,
grossest
card
is torture
cutest
dungeon.
Cutest
card
is torture dungeon.
Oh, okay, makes sense. grossest card is bathroom. Plainest card is your bedroom.
Yeah, put that gross card by where you put the poop.
Sealed party.
Sealed party.
Sealed party.
All right, Megan, you and I played some sealed events recently.
Yeah, we did.
Which I don't know where Ben was.
Me neither.
Ugh, that guy.
I was getting my lungs rotated.
Oh.
Oh, that's, you should do that every 600 miles.
You should. My check lungs light was on, so I had to get my lungs rotated.
Yeah, Megan, you had some pretty good successes with your sealed decks.
I certainly did better than I expected when I walked into the respective rooms where these events were held.
I think you always have two...
Oh, sorry, is it too late for the pitch pipe?
Oh my god, I was like,
we needed that pitch pipe just several minutes ago, Ben.
I thought your doorbell started working again.
I thought that was your check lungs.
Like, yeah. Yeah, that was air escaping from my lungs. It was punctured during rotation.
Uh-oh.
Megan, I was going to say, you sell yourself too short.
I don't know that I do. But, okay. So, anyways.
That's what someone who sells some shirts says.
The first event that we went to was the Meadery Marquee event. Maria, what kinds of thing of, where are you going, buddy?
So this was the marquee event of the store we play at, the Mead Hall store.
Mead Hall, it was Mead Hall. They have a marquee event each month, and it's a different format, and this was the limited one.
If you're in Minneapolis, come check it out, or if you can get to Minneapolis, come check it out.
It's pretty sweet.
It's really fun.
It's this one was 5 rounds of sealed and then cut to a top 8 draft. Oh.
Yeah.
So Maria, what kind of deck did you build in sealed?
I built a green-white deck. It was a pile of garbage, though.
Oh.
You know, and sometimes you say, oh, this deck sucks, it's not going to win, and then it does.
Yeah.
This was not one of those cases. Very creature light, unfortunately, and it just did not have power, nor did it have a good curve, nor did it have synergy.
Mm. Did it at least have cute cards?
It probably did. I can't even remember one cute card that it had. That's how mad
it had Reaper of the Wild. You were splashing black for Reaper.
Yeah,
I like that.
Off of no fixing.
That's nice.
That's living the dream.
Sometimes that's the way it goes, man.
So you know, I wish I had it with me to show to you guys, but I could only win. Did I even win a match with it? I won maybe one match with it, but it just couldn't get there.
What do you think was the issue?
I think it was too wimpy, and it also, like, maybe I had a couple of 6 drops, but they were not good enough to be premium, like, to close out the game.
Yeah. Mm.
6 drops.
They weren't there wasn't a Nessian ass.
No. Mm.
Kind of like when I do my floor routine, and I do the big closer, and then the judges can't even tell that I'm done.
Yeah.
But you have to raise your hands up in the air and thrust out your chest.
Yeah, you have to do that weird like gymnast salute.
But I hurt my shoulder.
Doing that floor routine.
You should not be in gymnastics.
The judges can't even tell that I'm done. They're like, damn.
It's like I have to be like raise the cards now.
Oh.
I just wrote a number down.
I drew a picture.
I wrote a number.
I actually got a 10 just because the judge was so surprised I was done. He was so flustered that he held up the wrong card.
Congratulations. Although that got knocked out.
Yeah,
when they
take out the highest score, which is that's a bullshit rule. They should only take the highest.
I have a question, though. Yes. When building a sealed deck.
The Russian judge is biased. It's true.
Yes.
Is the French judge sleeping around?
Yeah, always.
Okay. That's not even a question. Give me a break. In a sealed deck, do you want to think more about having a good curve? Do you want to think more about raw power and maybe sacrifice some of your 2 drops? Or is a 2 drop still important to have?
Yes and yes.
When I'm in a sealed deck, the number one thing I'm thinking about
is girls.
Is how do I get out of this sealed deck?
Is that what I said when you're in a sealed deck?
Yeah, you said in a sealed deck. You don't want, so ideally, you don't want creatures that do nothing in the late game. And ideally...
Isn't that every 2 drop almost?
You want to have a curve. No, that's not every 2 drop at all. So what's an example of a 2 drop that does nothing in the late game?
Reckless Reveler.
Yeah.
Two on for two.
Two,
Oh wait, no, that removes an artifact.
That
never
can
mind
kill an
that.
Artifact.
Traveling Philosopher.
It's a pretty good example because it is only conditionally useful in the late game.
Satyr Rambler.
Yeah, Satyr Rambler was what I was thinking of. It's a 2/1 with trample. In the late game, it really does nothing because you're just drawing it, and unless your opponent happens to have no creatures at all, it's not going to do anything ever,
yeah,
right?
That
right.
2/1's going to be roll wimpy.
Unless you have a Dictate of Heliod, then it's great.
Yeah.
But ideally you want to have other creatures in there that do stuff late game. And so like a creature like Hypnotic Siren, or wait, no.
No.
The Shipwreck Singer. The siren that can force creatures to attack. Like,
right.
That's a decent card to have late game because it can help you break a board stall. It has relevant and powerful abilities that can help you out in the late game. Even a card like Leonin Snarecaster, which is a 2-drop that just taps down a creature, a lot of times that can be enough to break through a board stall and get you in for some last points of damage. So 2-drops that have any form of reach are really the ideal 2-drops that you want to play.
Man, I gotta bring those in because I am actually like super interested to see like if I completely built it wrong. I'd be interested to know. So maybe I'll do that and take some pictures and put them up on our Twitter at MTAcast.
Now, if you are lucky enough to have a pool that has a good curve.
If you just have a pool, you're probably pretty lucky.
If you're lucky enough to have a pool,
we're coming
why are you playing Magic?
Go to your pool.
And when are they going to make waterproof Magic cards like they did for Uno? Change of the game.
Amazing.
It is hard to tell. Oh, I'm sorry.
Get the pitch pipe.
Amazing.
Thank you. That was horrible. Yeah. Sorry, listeners.
If you do have a lot of creatures that, and you do have a good curve, then you might just be able to make a deck that's all just has a really efficient curve. It's just gonna play out creatures every turn and attack. But if you don't have that, you have to think about, how's my deck going to get it done? How's this deck going to get it done?
I would say that my deck building philosophy generally favors late game powerful cards over 2-drops. Like if I'm considering a couple of color options and it's like, well, I either have this option which gives me a lot of 2-drops but no late game power, or I have this other build that's light on 2-drops but has a lot of 3-drops maybe and late game power, then I'm definitely going to, personally at least, steer towards the late game power deck because I think in sealed it's generally a better strategy.
I think if you have bombs that you can play, expensive bombs that you can play, that's a good way to go. Is to play a game.
Yeah.
That can support the long game, and if you don't, then a lot of times, sometimes it just feels like your only hope to beat other bombs, which you kind of are inevitably going to run into, is to be able to play a deck that's tempo, fast, and can actually curve out and get your opponent before they draw that bomb and slap it on the ground.
I really hope they print the card Obi-Wan Kenobi, and I hope it's a super great bomb, but you can only put it in a deck that really sucks. So it really is your only hope.
You may only play this card if there are no other rares.
Yeah. If it's the only rare in your deck. You guys, this is a hilarious idea I just had.
Yeah, I like it. Anyways.
Megan just wrote me a dirty note, everybody.
Yeah, okay, guys. Feel free, if you have a sealed pool that went really bad and has no way to win, feel free to tweet it at us, and we'll review it in next week's segment, How This Deck Gonna Get It Done?
Previously known as, What's Wrong With My Deck? River Text Theater presents, Which Card Should Date?
So, just like you may only have a limited dating pool in the people that you know, Not all of the Theros cards can date all of the other Theros cards because they don't all know each other. That's right.
Some of them are unavailable.
Yeah.
Some spend a lot of time in another subplane.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we gotta open a pack and know which 2 cards from that pack should date because that's really the dating pool they're pulling from.
So I have a saucy idea. What if we mix cards from this Theros pack and this Born of the Gods pack?
All right, let's do it.
Let's see which...
Whoa.
Which of these cards should give up on finding true love and just settle down whatever card happens to be around. Because not everyone gets to date a rare.
Aren't we all settling for Born of the Gods, you guys?
So true. All right, let's get these cards out here.
Oh, all right.
This is hard to hold the microphone and do this at the same time. Ooh, look at this saucy rare.
Okay, who's the first card we're looking for a match for?
I think Shipbreaker Kraken wants some love.
Aww, little Shipbreaker Kraken.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
I mean, he's so big. Like,
you know what? I think I really have this feeling like this Vortex Elemental would be a great fit for the Shipbreaker Kraken because he can really just take care of him, you know?
What do you mean? He can bury him?
Yes. They can both get buried together.
True love.
I'm just saying there's not a lot of things that can take care of a crack daddy. I don't think this Vortex Elemental.
That's true. Like, he's peerless. You know, like, who is good enough to date Shipbreaker Kraken?
You know what? I think Shipbreaker Kraken really needs to be with someone that can teach him something.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah.
They can learn from each other. Yes. They're not.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot in common. And I think that the perfect card for Shipbreaker Kraken is Loyal Pegasus. Okay?
Opposites attract.
They're very different.
They're very different.
You know what? At the end of the day, when Shipbreaker Kraken comes home,
who's there?
He's going to have someone to attack with.
Loyal Pegasus.
Okay, but to be fair, I mean, Loyal Pegasus is like the perfect match for any card.
Yeah,
right?
Really.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Hold up. You got to take into account, is Shipbreaker Kraken going to get bored with a 2-1?
Yeah, it might. That's very fair. Oh. That's very fair.
Well,
okay. It really might.
You know, it's just consideration. They'll probably be okay for a while.
They'll have a few months.
Mm. All right.
I think that this Sphinx's disciple would really date that Horizon Scholar. Because you know how sometimes you're dating up and you know it.
And that's what this is happening.
Sphinx's disciple is really dating up and it knows it. But on the other hand, like, there's some things that Horizon Scholar can learn from the disciple.
Like how to draw a card.
Yeah, exactly. Like, sometimes a disciple be drawing a card.
Nah, I see. I just don't see these two together.
What's the problem?
Maybe I'm racist.
Against what?
Maybe I don't think a human wizard should date
Sphinx?
Something with the body of a lion.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
But, you know, I think here, you know, in a perfect relationship,
right,
you have things in common,
uh-huh,
but you also balance each other out.
Yes.
You make each other better.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's why I think Sphinx's disciple should date Chosen by Heliod.
Oh, I get it. That's so good.
They're both going to draw you cards.
Yeah.
Probably only one card ever.
This Chosen is protecting the disciple.
Yeah. It's just been like, come here, buddy. I've got you.
I'm going to draw your first card. And you know what? That card's probably going to be a Crypsis.
And they're already having sex on the board, basically.
Now, what about, I've got this little Nyxborn Rollicker over here.
Oh.
And he's so lonely. He's just a little guy. He's a sad little man.
How about Vaporkin? What do you think about that?
Oh, just like two little dudes, just Vaporkin's all like...
Yeah, but hold up. Nyxborn Rollicker really seems like a party bro.
Yeah,
and Vaporkin's kind of shy.
Well, maybe Nyxborn Rollicker wants that Evangel of Heliod and all his kids around and get a party on.
I don't think
Nyxborn Rollicker is dating anybody with kids.
Okay, I was thinking more of Evangel not having kids, but having, like, all of his bros.
Okay, party bros?
Yeah, exactly. Like, Nyxborn Rollicker, Evangel of Heliod, and all his party bros. They're all just
definitely not hold at bay. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, they're all just throwing one big, giant 1-1 party.
You know, I think at the end of the day, Nyxborn Rollicker is probably going to end up with a yoked ox.
I mean, honestly,
that's what's going to happen. I mean, we all want
we all want the best, but...
We all want to cast that turn one yoked ox, turn two bestow Nyxborn Rollicker on it. Am I right?
I mean, sometimes that's life, you know?
Living the dream.
Sometimes that's life. Sometimes, you know, you don't end up with the Titan strength.
Yeah.
When you spend your whole life partying, you've missed all the girls that are now that now have really good jobs. Mm. Yeah. And they're already locked away, so you got to get with that yoke docs who's sitting at the bar at 3 a.m.
You really do.
Okay, I think we have time for one last match.
All right, one last match.
Yeah.
Who do you think belongs with this Temple of Enlightenment?
Evangel of Heliod, duh.
Really? I was going to go with Satessan Battle Priest.
Oh, that's right. It's a priest.
Yeah.
It's a two-drop, so you're going to be able to cast it on turn two.
Yeah. It's just like, it's
this guy, Evangel, like, looks like he's preaching, though.
I know, but I look like the battle priest.
Would you say that he belongs in a temple?
Clarity.
I suppose he looks more like he's in the streets. All right.
See, Satessan Battle Priest looks like she needs some clarity.
In
her
life?
She's going to go find it. She's going to go find
you know,
temple.
You
a lady
know,
in the streets, but a priest in the bed?
You know who I think
said no one ever.
This Temple of Enlightenment will be really happy with?
Who, Ben?
Oh. Horizon Scholar.
Why?
They're all...
Because there's
one
scry
party.
Scry party?
It's a big scry party.
Big scry party.
Their wedding registry is just like, let us scry.
Think about how happy these people are going to be in retirement.
Why? Because they've already scryed to all the good stuff?
All those extra turns they keep taking. Their opponent has lost already, but they just keep going.
Good scrying, point. Good scrying point. Together forever.
Basically both drawing cards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If I can envision my retirement and old age, marriage is just
on
like
and
a,
on into their late life
with
totals.
A bunch of scrying.
Yeah,
perfect,
mm-hmm.
perfect.
Mm-hmm. Well, that has been another episode of Magic the Amateuring.
Another sauce fest.
No one can say that wasn't an episode of Magic the Amateuring.
That's true.
No one can say that.
Nobody. If you try and say those words, your mouth will go gainsay. Don't try it.
Don't
say
it.
We didn't warn you.
Don't do it.
From everybody here, good night and good luck. And remember, you can find us on Twitter at MTAcast.
That's my thing to say at the end of the episode.
You say good night and good luck?
I say good night, good luck, and you say something weird.
Oh, okay. I'll take that back. Megan,
okay,
you can say that.
Good night and good luck.
And swallow your tongues.
That was super weird.
I don't know. It just came out.
You can find us online at magictheamateuring.com. Send us an email at magictheamateuring@gmail.com or tweet at us at MTAcast.
You can download every single episode that's ever happened in existence on iTunes and Stitcher. Also,
of this show.
Oh, yeah. Of this show.
Not of Doctor Who. A lot of those episodes were lost forever.
Lost to time.
Maybe. Although they recovered some recently.
Yeah, one in Australia.
Wow.
Who knew?
Oh, I thought there were also ones that got reflected back from space.
I mean, sure, lots of episodes have been reflected back from space.
Yeah.
Everybody, see you next week. I hope you eat healthy, run good, and
play hard.
Play hard.